SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, too. A bright, cold, crisp. This is usually the kind of day that I can't really use my favorite winter description today. Because it's more for when there's a layer of snow. We have snow. And we may have more over the weekend, but I may have to save it for Monday. It's not my special word that I trot out. I'll save it. It might be Monday. I got a feeling because we're supposed to get some over maybe on Sunday too, some snow. Well, meanwhile, down in South Florida, it is 0 hour for eclipse candidates. And later this evening, in what, about 11 hours, they'll start to hand out trophies and fete the season champions of every variety. And I want to first order of business on that topic before we talk about yesterday's draw and how it turned out for, you know, a lot of the major players. And people seem to have really focused in on Omaha Beach as a slam dunk. And you know, this event has been a dominant horse race, in its first, you know, its first three runnings. Let's be honest. A horse like Omaha Beach has come in and won. So I understand all the Omaha Beach, you know, preference and expectation. The thing I want to slip in, our friend Tony Infante down in Tampa Tony, as he's affectionately known, asked this morning, he said something crazy, that his cable company, his provider down in South Florida, but he's on the West Coast, Tampa side, obviously the Gulf side, has dropped TVG. So he was wondering where he can watch the Eclipse Awards, and many of you may be wondering the same thing. Well, you can watch it streaming in a variety of places. It's on TVG, for those of you whose cable provider hasn't dropped it. And frankly, I imagine that the TVG.com, the TVG's platform will be streaming in addition to broadcasting, but you can also watch it at XBTV. XBTV.com has got it at the Gulfstream website, GulfstreamPark.com, DRF.com, and on RTN, the Roberts Communications Network. And I do have to start including some RTN discussion, because we're doing some things with RTN. We're having a promotion with RTN. I will give you those details. And frankly, if you're at our website, if you're at stevebick.com and you see the RTN banner and you're interested, you can get 5 free days, and great way to preview what RTN does. And certainly this would be a good weekend for it, with the action at Gulfstream, and really any time, you know, now that we're kind of getting into the, you know, the teeth of the season. Opening day tomorrow at Oaklawn and the big day at Sam Houston. Yeah, in fact go to our website. I'm gonna go ahead and flog that right now. Go to the website and click on the RTN banner. On the front page, there's a little block, and then when you go, you know, elsewhere on the on the site. If you go to the archives and you go to the handicapping page, you'll see the banner, and that'll take you into registration, and you get 5 days to try RTN. RTN BYK is your prompt. All right, so you can't beat it. I mean, RTN, virtually every single signal that is flowing on the interwebs, courtesy of RTN. So you can watch the Eclipse Awards while betting Singapore and Australia. You could be betting virtually every single possible oval, dog track, harness, you name it, available on RTN. But it, you got to try it and see it for yourself. The people that subscribe on a going basis just love it. No having to deal with, some of the frustrations of, of other platforms and other streamings. So there you go. There's your RTN mention that I wanted to slip in. But clearly you can take in the Eclipse Awards any which way tonight. So should be entertaining and interesting. Maybe, I don't know if they've got a 2-drink limit on the bartenders that they're watching carefully. I don't know. So RTN, GulfstreamPark.com, DRF.com, watch XBTV, XBTV.com, and TVG. So there's your options tonight for the Eclipse Award. On to the Pegasus draw, and the way the morning line shook out. And Omaha Beach drew the 5, which seemed fine with Richard Mandela. And I'll give you the field from the rail out if you haven't had a chance to print out the PPs and go through and get a feel. I mean, it's a terrific, really a should be a tremendous day start to finish. Starts with an allowance and maiden races and then into the 9 stakes. It's going to be fun. True Timber drew the rail, gets the services of Joe Bravo, who's been on board for a bunch of True Timber's efforts. And True Timber, ran very well at 30-1 in the Cigar Mile. And I think that kind of got overlooked. But he'll save ground and try to maybe pick up some pieces late. He's never been particularly effective. He was in this race last year, if you don't remember. But he's never particularly been effective at a mile and an eighth. He's elongated sprints. Fine. If you're going to stretch out successfully, this is the right place. But it's, Calumet and Brad Kelly likes to run. He likes to see his horses run. So Kieran's got True Timber involved here, and you're looking at 20-1. Tax, Danny Gargan, second off the layoff, and ran well, ran credibly, even as a beaten favorite, I thought, in the Discovery. I mean, Performer was the now horse, and he and Tax were 10 lengths clear of anybody else. So not a bad comebacker for Tax into this. And meanwhile, I'm going to be very anxious. We'll talk to Mike Welch, obviously, tomorrow, and to Marty McGee. But very anxious to see what Donald Harris had to say about his Palmetto works, including a bullet 47 3/4 half mile about 10-12 days ago. So Tax, for those who like him, and that effort in the Discovery, that was a career best. He came back running. Don't kid yourself. He came back and ran the best race of his career from a figure standpoint. So easy to root for Randy Hill and the Reeves and everybody that's tied on for the Arch gelding. Diamond Oops, he's 12-1, by the way. 20-1 on Diamond Oops with Julien Leperu. And what can you say about Diamond Oops? Patrick Biancone, who's had a nice start to this season. He's got 5 wins and 24 starts going into the weekend. And Diamond Oops has done everything that's been asked of him. Now, this is, you know, this is a new trick, going out to 1 1/8 miles. He hasn't been beyond a mile, but that was in the Shadwell where he ran a courageous race to be, you know, overhauled late by Bowie's Hero in the grade one on the grass. So coming out of the Mr. Prospector win, Breeders' Cup didn't go great, but part of that was his own doing. He you know, kind of lurched and wasn't in the kind of position that he likes to be, which is, you know, kind of forwardly placed. I mean, he's coming off of 1 turn 7/8 effort in that Mr. Prospector. He is 5 for 6 at Gulfstream Park. So coming off 2 bullets as well, a turf bullet and then a dirt bullet. Patrick pulling out all the stops to get Diamond Oops ready. And I, what can you say? How do you just dismiss this horse? Patrick has, you know, surprised with him and you know, feels like he's overachieved. Looking at Lucky out of a YYY mare. Diamond Oops, 20-1 from the 3-hole. Seeking the Soul, Dallas Stewart. And I've already seen the murmurings. You know, don't be, you know, don't be forgetting about Dallas and a Charlie Fipke homebred. Seeking the Soul is now 7 years old. He's making his seasonal debut. And last year in this race at 34-1, he was a very good second trying to chase home City of Light, coming from 8 miles out of it. So he was last early and came running. Johnny V gets back aboard, and Johnny has won, of course, with him. He won the Foster with him and was second with him last year in this event. So Seeking the Soul from the 4-hole, he'll save all the ground, drawing inside. That's a benefit. 30-1 on Seeking the Soul again. And don't, you know, don't, I don't want to hear about it at 6:40. When's this race go off? It goes off at 5:45, actually. I don't want to hear it 6:15. Oh, I didn't use Seeking the Soul. Omaha Beach, 7-5 from the 5-hole. No real, you know, no elaboration really necessary. Higher Power drew the 6, and it's a pretty advantageous Flavian Pratt, and he basically, if you had to guess what they're going to do with him, you get the feeling that Pratt will shadow Mike Smith, right? That seems like the MO. I mean, Higher Power wants to be in the flow, essentially. He's run his best races when he's at least been, you know, part of the picture. He, you know, against the difficult racetrack in the Breeders' Cup, you know, he did rally to be a distant third. But it just seems like everything has to go right for Higher Power to really impact things. He, tricky read. I mean, that Pack Classic, he was just spectacular that day. War Story, he's back for... this is, well, let's see, this is the fourth Pegasus, and this is his third go-around, coming off that Harlan's Holiday win, which actually was his first win at Gulfstream. Joel Rosario, who has a habit of getting a horse to run and move at the right time. War Story, 30-1. Higher Power is 6-1. War Story, 30-1. Mr. Freeze is 30-1. He's run some races that are, you know, okay, that that might, you know, that you could conceive. And he's got to win a second and a third going a mile and an eighth. And it's Dale Romans. You don't know. I'll be anxious to see what Mike Welsh thought, because he's been working at Gulfstream, so Mike has been watching him. So we'll get opinions from Mike. Spun to Run, who landed Javier Castellano. You know he's going to be in the race flow. He draws the 9. 7-2. Second choice for the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner and Cigar Mile runner-up. Horse has done little wrong since that Smarty Jones effort. Mucho Gusto, Errad Ortiz, people kind of mystified by Errad signing on. The 4-year-old colt coming out of the 3-year-old campaign where he was solid, if not, you know, spectacular, useful. He's got kind of that collected feel, right? There's one of those Baffert horses, like collected opportunity, maybe, as he ages. We'll see. Tenfold with Tyler Gaffleone from the 11, 30-1. And Bodie Express, 30-1 with Jaramillo. And you know he's going to light out for the lead. There's your Pegasus. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Tell you what's going on today.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American fall crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our racehorse development fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I thought I saw you in the battleship, but it was only a lookalike. She was nothing but a vision trick. Under the warning light, she was close, close enough to be your ghost. But my chances turned to toast when I asked her if I could call her your name.
We're back in the races. 20 minutes in. Dick Powell will join us in a couple of minutes. I still got some news and so forth. Tony Black in a little bit, as well as Steve Haskin, of course, Rich Eng, possibly Matt Hegarty. And I want Matt to survey the landscape of hard news, of which there's just a never-ending drumbeat, and we'll include some of that. So that's the snapshot. Dick, Tony, Steve, maybe Matt and Rich Eng. Got to catch up with Rich. We haven't had a chance. But first, a few more news and notes from the draws and everything going on that front. Your $1 million Pegasus Turf. And this got interesting the minute that Magic Wand drew the 12 hole. Now, they're going to have the rail for the Turf Cup. They're going to have it at 96 feet. So it's on one of the outer, you know, the outer portion of that double wide turf course. And essentially, and in fact, Dick, when Dick joins us, I'll let Dick riff on this, because years ago when Gulfstream went to this temporary rail configuration and the movement, you know, 0 and 60, you know, 12 and 72, and, you know, the pairings of the inner and the outer. Dick did a pretty significant tracking of, you know, who benefited and who didn't. And, you know, counterintuitively, the horses from off the pace are better off drawing outside on the outer turf. And we'll I'll let Dick discuss that a little bit. So here's your Turf Cup. And this hasn't obviously gotten nearly as much attention, but it's actually a very nice group. And it starts on the rail, Zulu Alpha, Mike Maker, Tyler Gaffleone, last seen in the Breeders' Cup when he was fourth and ran a very nice race at 19-1 with Jose Ortiz in that setting. Last win came going the mile and a half at Kentucky Downs in the Kentucky Downs Turf Cup. Arklow, who also comes out of the Breeders' Cup turf, is eighth, but, you know, only beaten two and change. And Luis Saez ends up aboard. Zulu Alpha is 12-1. Arklow 6-1. Zulu Alpha is 2-for-3 at Gulfstream. This is Arklow's first trip to Hallandale Beach. Without Parole, who was a very good third in the Breeders' Cup mile, got bet like he was going to run well, and then he did, and has had, you know, subsequently the time for Chad to really work with him, and has worked, you know, seemingly very well up at Palm Meadows. And Without Parole, Frankie Dettori back aboard. Rad Ortiz rode him in the mile, but certainly Without Parole is going to have plenty of support. 4-1 with a big opportunity for a North American Grade One, and John and Tanya Gunther, of course. The kind of a personal personal favorite, Sadler's Joy. Good old Sadler's Joy, now 7. He's coming off that Red Smith win, bypassed the Breeders' Cup turf, won a couple of lengths clear. Javier Castellano sticks with Sadler's Joy, who's 8-1. Nice number. And Sadler's Joy, 2-for-4 at Gulfstream. And as, you know, despite, he reminds me a little bit, when you think about it, reminds me of Divisadero when you think about, you know, turf horses rallying at Gulfstream. And Divisadero did okay at Gulfstream. Sadler's Joy has been okay as well when he's run there. Channel Cat, 10-1. Todd Pletcher and Calumet missed by under a length, rallying in the Fort Lauderdale, had been 7th in the Breeders' Cup turf. So he did not. This is, he's one of the horses that didn't get any break over the winter after Breeders' Cup. Johnny V, of course, 10-1 from the 5-hole. Instilled Regard broke through for Chad and for Larry Best with that Fort Lauderdale win. Seems another good opportunity here for him for a big win, for a grade one, 10-1. Flavian Pratt's going to ride admission office for Brian Lynch and the Ammermans, the point of entry 5-year-old, second, beaten half a length in that Fort Lauderdale. Henley's Joy and Mike Maker, Jeff Bloom, last seen in the Hollywood Derby, hasn't won since the Belmont Derby, where he was so good that day. And he gets Leperoux and Julian, first time aboard Henley's Joy, and you would sense that that's a good fit. Next shares, Richard Baltus, coming off the Seabiscuit win, and things went awry early for him in the Breeders' Cup Mile, and we talked to Richard about that. They shrugged it off and came right back 4 weeks later and win the Seabiscuit. And he's worked very nicely preparing for this at San Luis Rey, and next shares is going to be a big price in here. And Baltus at a big price, proceed with caution. Here's Mo Forza from the 10 with Peter Miller and Joel Rosario, the Barry Abrams story, just so nice and hard not to, you know, hard not to root openly for anything associated with Barry. 5-1. The 11, Sacred Life, another opportunity for Chad, this one with Michael Dubb and Sal Cumin and company. Sacred Life had gone out to California for the Seabiscuit and ran well. Ran well. You're going to get a starting price of 12-1 on Sacred Life. And then Magic Wand, your favorite, that's going to have to work out a trip. And she is the globe-trotting marvel. What can you say about her? She's made 22 starts and literally all over the world. So Magic Wand, missed by the scantest of noses in that Hong Kong Cup. What a perfect segue to say good morning to Dick Powell. Dickie, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Couldn't have timed that better. They drew this perfectly, right?
Yeah, perfect segue, ending with Magic Wand and throwing it to me.
Well,
I don't think she can overcome post 12. That's my issue with her. It'd be a great send off race. She's gone to the breeding shed after this race. It'd be a great story and all that, but a lot to overcome.
Well, and riff for everybody that is going to, you know, going to be involved here. And actually, there's two topics about this this race and these two races. The medication free aspect. So there's going to be horses coming off, Lasix. And weather wise, I don't think it doesn't project to be particularly hot or difficult from that standpoint. In fact, there's a little bit of, I thought the other day, you know, down there, there's always a chance of some rain, but we'll check in on that. But give everybody your treatise, Dick, because you were the one who I thought did everybody a solid when you were tracking the two turf courses at Gulfstream when they started with the temporary rails. And you wrote an extensive piece at Brisnet about it, and it was a clip and save, and I've basically lived off of it ever since.
Well, it led to me going 4 months in Four-Wind Psychiatric Center because I just drove myself nuts. For one, especially when I tried to figure out run-ups and how that worked out. The overall theme. Now, when the early PPs came out yesterday, they didn't have an overnight out yesterday till, I don't know, 5 o'clock.
Yep.
No, I do. And the early PPs came out, and the ones I had did not have a rail setting for the Pegasus turf, which means it's at zero. And so now you had mentioned 96. I just jumped back on and looked at the overnight for the race, and it is a 96 seat. So rail's pretty far out, which means Just think of Saratoga. They're running on the Mellon turf course. They're not running on the inner turf course. And as we know, there are differences between the Mellon turf course and the inner turf course. It's a wider turf. It's a wider turf course. It's a rounder turf course. The turns are more expansive, not as tight as the inner. They'll have plenty of time going into the first turn, so the field of 12 can break, and then they can sort themselves out somewhat going into the first turn. But then if you're coming from off the pace, you're going to lose ground, but you're not going to lose momentum. The worst thing on these tight turf courses is when you're losing ground and you're losing momentum. And that's really hard to overcome. This one, you're not going to lose any momentum. If someone winds, you know, like a Joel Rosario, winds their horse up from the back and starts that relentless closing, they'll keep coming. So I think it might, if anything, I think it'll favor horses from off the pace. And it's such an unusual race because, I went over the race, and my selections are going to be on, they should be published today on the Twin Spires blog. I got a tip sheet for the Pegasus and the Pegasus Turf. And when you look at the field, it's really a lot of three-turn horses going two turns, a lot of mile-and-a-half horses turning back to a nine-and-a-half furlong. Not many horses stretching out. You know, the Pegasus, the dirt race, has a lot of sprinting types, one-turn types, trying to get to two turns. But this is really three-turn horses trying to get two turns. So I think we're going to have a very fast last half mile. I think there'll be not necessarily traffic because everyone should be moving good. But if you're on the outside and clear, it's probably not the worst place to be.
Let me, you mentioned the dirt race, too. Let me interject for a second, Dick, because Jay Pribman from down in South Florida reporting that Juan Carlos Guerrero is going to have to scratch Spun to Run from Saturday. He's had an outbreak. He's got a skin disease outbreak, and that is invariably like what happened to for Jimmy Jerkins, when Jimmy went out to California, was that with FNX? I can't remember. I think it was FNX. And that's a nerve. That's an internal thing with a horse that is under some stress. And that's when they get that. Basically, it's hives. I mean, essentially. And
like
so,
viral.
Yeah, it's a viral thing. But when a horse is basically run down they become susceptible to this kind of thing. So that's what that is. I'll get Dr. Alday to, we haven't talked about that in a long time, but that's exactly what it is. And listen, he's done a lot in a short period of time. So the Pegasus down to 11 and Spun to Run was in the, no.
The turf has the AE, the Pegasus.
Yeah, there's an AE. There is an AE Tusk, the horse of Savvy Joseph's. But Spun to Run was going to leave the nine hole. So Mucho Gusto, Tenfold, and Bodie Express benefit at least a little by moving in one slot.
Yeah.
That's the news.
There
you go.
And I think the turf is going to be in really good shape. They've had cold weather this week.
Yes.
So it should be fine, and as long as they don't get rain, a shower's no big deal. They probably could use a shower because it's starting to get pretty beat up. So I don't know where they've had their rail placements lately, whether 96 is going to give them a nice swap of virgin turf or anything like that, but it's just a wider, kinder type of trip. And when you mentioned the Magic Wand, who was here, I mean, this shows you how spectacular she is. She was here for the Arlington Million and just missed against Bricks and Mortar. Then she goes all over the world. She's second to a stablemate, Magical. Then she goes to the Cox Plate in Australia.
Yep.
And runs a terrific fourth behind the Japanese filly, Elise Gracieux, runs in the Melbourne Cup, big, gigantic horses all over the track, and she's 3 lengths behind in 10th place, comes back 4 days later to win the McKinnon, a group one, against males, naturally, beats them, and then goes on to Hong Kong 4 weeks later, and is just coming on at the wire. Just and the way I described it was, she's relentless. The only thing that can beat her is the wire. The wire gets there, she doesn't get there in time. From post 12, I don't think she can do it. And I'm sentimental. I love pedigrees, and I love Galileo. And she is the epitome of what a Galileo should be. And Aiden knows that, and therefore Aiden is always willing to ask her to do things that most trainers would have a Galileo filly, and they would say, oh, no, we don't want to run the risk or anything else. Well, Aiden knows how tough these horses are, and has shipped her everywhere, just like Highland Reel, and just she's just awesome. She has $4 million in earnings, and it would be a great story, and I'll be rooting for her. Just, unfortunately, I just can't bet on her.
Who are you? Who are you leaning on? Leaning toward?
Well, I'm leaning on Without Parole.
Mm-hmm.
His form did go kind of bad. The race in Dubai wasn't that bad. Almanai was unbeatable that night, and then he came back like 6 weeks later and just was up the track in the lockage. I mean, did terrible. I don't know what was wrong. So I don't mind seeing that. I call that the getaway race. You're going to take some time off. So that race is usually ugly. So now I get time off, switches to Chad. And from post eight and a wide trip, I mean, he ran spectacular in the Breeders' Cup mile. I mean, had no chance to win, but it was just coming on and on and on at a mile. Now he goes mile 3/16. He's by Frankel. He's a half to... Who's the big horse he's after? I looked it up yesterday. If I read my notes, I'd probably come up with the answer. Yeah, he's after Tamakus, and just tremendous pedigree. And the Gunther breed, nothing but grade one winners. It's just like every Gunther bred horse, John and his daughter Tanya, has seen the word grade one, great at group one races. And Without Parole just looks like, from an inside trip, I'm worried about the pace because these mile and a half horses are used to, 51 halves. I think the pace will come towards the outside, what little there is. So I'm going to go Without Parole. Hopefully Frankie can find the seam and explode. And then Mo Forza, the 10, for Peter Miller, who's just an improving horse. These other horses have all shown their high cards, the 6 and 7-year-olds that are going a mile and a half. They've already shown what they can do. Where Mo Forza has been in really good form, just keep getting better and better. He's only 4, just turned 4. So he still has an upside. I'm hoping Joel does not take him way back. I hope he runs mid-pack. I think he has a big chance with the trip. And then Zulu Alpha for Mike Maker, who's one of the mile-and-a-half horses, but he loves Gulfstream, and I think from the rail, he can save ground on one turn, and then he can go as wide as he wants on the other turn. It's Tyler Deepster. So 3-10-1.
I like it. I can't argue with any of those. Sadler's joy to pick up the pieces at the bottom of the tries and supers. How about that?
Wasn't Sadler's joy the one who has trouble not with when he's off license? Didn't he bleed through license?
I don't remember when he would have run without.
No, but I think he bled through it. I'm sorry.
Back early on, you mean?
Need a time off and stuff like that.
I'll check. I can't remember.
It's not going to be Saratoga humidity Saturday. So if you have a bleeding issue, it's not going to be exacerbated by weather. So that's a good cause without them racing on it.
I'll check with Tom. With Tom Albertrani. I cannot remember that, but I'll be sure to check. I'm checking now. All right. Well, nice day Saturday coming, of course, and we're going to do plenty more work on it. And We'll talk tomorrow to Marty McGee and to Mike Welch. Dick, let's turn our attention to the action at Hong Kong.
Since we last talked, I just run that 2 meets a week without exception. And we're now up to our 39th race meet coming up Sunday night, Monday morning. And it is Hong Kong Chinese New Year, the year of the rat. So they're going to have the Sammy Gravano handicap as race three. Bunched up the people that you could find the app description for that one. 11 race card also on Monday. So unusual that the day of the race is Sunday night, Monday. 11 race card. It is at Sha Tin. It's, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure it's all turf, no all weather. So we got 11 turf races for the 39th race meet of the season. What we've had is kind of a remarkable consistency with the riders. Marrera is still leading. He has 61. Zach Purton got really close. He got to within three, two actually. And then Marrera's pulled away, so that hasn't changed. Marrera's in front, Purton's chasing. Karis Teton is back in third. He had been suspended a couple of meets. Vincent Hull, local rider, doing very well. And Grant Van Niekerk continues to ride well. But when you look at the money, Zhao has $107 million in earnings. Now, these are Hong Kong dollars. You can divide them by about seven. You get the U.S. dollar equivalent. Zach has $70 million. Karis, Vincent Hull, Grant. So the leading riders by wins are the same as the leading riders by earnings. But with the trainers, the leading riders by wins is Ricky Yu, who's been doing sensational. Francis Louis has been red hot. He's up to 31. Danny Shum, 24. Doug White is having a great first year of training, 23. Mikey Moore, 20. Casper Founds, 20. But when you look at earnings, the 10th leading trainer, John Seif, is by far the leading trainer with $65 million. And in fact, one day when they had two $10 million races, Seif won both of them. John Moore, who's the 7th leading trainer, is second in earnings with $45. Francis Louis has $35 million. And then the rest are all kind of according to their win standing, except for Tony Cruz, who's 8th in wins but 4th in earnings with $32 million. So Seif, Moore, Cruz, they continue to be the big guns in the stake races, and you see that especially when they have multiple runners in the races, that they're not just, you know, one entry. They got multiple entries in these big races and take down their share of the big money. So Seif has been doing extremely well. He won the Stewards' Cup last week, going to Mai with White Cuckoo. Beauty Generation had taken the lead soon from the start. Pace was good. Kind of had some pressure on him. And then in the stretch, I mean, Zach looked like he had a ton of horse. And here comes Zhao with the White Cuckoo, and the White Cuckoo runs him down on the line. Now, the amazing thing is, before I went to bed that night, I checked the current odds, and White Cuckoo was the heavy favorite. And continued to be the heavy favorite. So Beauty Generation, despite all the wins she's had over there in the Horse of the Year titles and everything else, they were letting her go off at the second choice, and she stayed second choice. She almost won it. And the race was strong enough where Turnbull indicated after the race he still would like to go to Dubai. He felt the mile on the eighth would help. He felt running, he calls it getting on the other foot, you know, running left-handed instead of right-handed. We kind of wake him up, and I think he's right. I think if he got a firm course over there, he would be very, very tough. So that'd be great if he goes. We'll know very soon what his plans are going to be. So Seif won both the Group 1s that night, and, you know, he's just a force that's going to be there right to the end of the meet. So Monday we got Chinese New Year. We have the Stewards' Cup. Let me get my PPs out for that. because we have the group one. No, it's not. I'm sorry. I'm talking about why Kakuzu is. Let's go back. We got Gulfstream next to one Hong Kong. That's never a good idea. So we got 11 races coming up on Sunday night, 11 o'clock Eastern time, 8 o'clock West Coast time. So if you're on the West Coast, you're going to get a lot of Hong Kong racing. That's basically the whole card. Before I get to the stake, the opening race, well, first I want to go over something, Steve. There's a little bit of confusion for people that watch the broadcast. Now, this is not true just of Hong Kong. This is true in international racing. When you see 3, and that means 3-1, 3-1 pays $6. This is true in Australia. This is true around the world. They do not do what we do, where a $6 horse for us is a 2-1 shot. 2 times 1 is, you know, 2 times 2 is 4, plus 2 is 6. They just include the stake, so it's 3-1 equals $6. But what you're going to see on the board is $30, because they display the prices in $10 increments. And one reason for that is just, you know, the dollar is cheaper there, so you'd have some pretty low prices if you displayed it in the Hong Kong dollar, the way the currency is exchanged now. So a 3-1 shot is 10 times that value on the tote board. So you'll see $30 for a 3-1, where for us, 3-1 pays $8. So a $6 horse for us would be 2-1. So when you're looking on your website, Twins Fires, Naira, Expressbet, all the major ADWs that have taken Hong Kong, that 3-1 on the tote board that you might be seeing on Hong Kong TV is going to be on your website at 2-1. You're going to get the $6. It's the American tote computation. So the confusion is when you're looking at it, you see 2-1, it's our 2-1. You look on the TV, you're going to see 3-1, but it's the same $6 payoff. Probably just made everyone even more confused. it's something when you follow international racing, you get used to very quickly. And the only complicating factor with that in Hong Kong is they display the prices in $10 bets. And that's not just win, play, show. All the bets are listed at $10. So get that out of the way. Race number 1, Sunday night at 11 o'clock Eastern time, will be a 0-40 handicap. So these are the bottom level horses, the lowest rated, class 5. And the one horse, On the Conquest, is rated at 40. So he gets barely into this class level. Doug White's the trainer, red hot, but we get Alfred Chan. And Chan had a good win the other day at 5-1 that I somehow let go by. But this one, he gets the 10-pound apprentice allowance. So instead of having to carry 133, because he's at the top of that class 5, he gets him with 123, which would bring him down to, like the 12th, 13th weighted race horse in the race. Form is good. He had a good one 2 starts back. As I said, drops in class, drops in weight. This looks like he has a lot of things going for him. Draws both 5s. It just looks like he's in a nice competitive spot. If you want to hook him up with someone, number 9, Nice Fandango, is going to have to overcome post 13. This is 1,200 meters around one turn, but he has a ton of speed, and I think Vincent Ho can get him going and see how long he can last. We'll see if he can set up any kind of quinella with the 1, but it's definitely the 1 with the weight off, and we'll hook him up with the 9 in a quinella. And then we move on to race 4, which is a group 3. This is the Centenary Vaz Cup. It's 1,800 meters, mile on 8, but around one turn. They get the long run down the backstretch. And what's interesting in this race is when you look at the weights, there's a huge discrepancy between the top horse, number 1, Exultant, who carries 133, and the second horse, Dark Dream, only carries 120. So when you look at the ratings for the horses, there's a giant gap, 13-point gap between Exultant at 129 and dark dream at 116, and then you go down there, quickly you go down to 110, 105. So Exaltant has a just a major, major class edge over this group. There's no one in here really getting any weight concession. Chan's not in the race. Plus, it's a group three, and apprentice allowance are allowed to be claimed. So I think the one Exaltant is going to be very tough. He's been in against the best around on the grounds. And it just looks like Tony Cruz has found a nice spot for him. And Zach Purton can pick up a nice stake race here. So Exaltant is just a stick out in the Centenary of Oz handicap in race number four. He is number one. Let's see if I marked up anybody else. Race number eight is the Hong Kong Classic Mile. This is a $10 million race for four-year-olds. This is part of the Derby series that culminates in the Hong Kong Derby. And I'm trying to see if this is a group race or not. I don't see it. But it's a big purse, and it's part of a series of races coming in. There's an interesting horse in here named Beauty Legacy, who had raced overseas in Australia, came in for John Size, started at 92, and just romped in 21 and change, going 7 furlongs, came from far back, and just blew by everyone in the stretch. Just looked spectacular. Well, he's moved way up in class, and he's one of the higher-rated horses in the race. Golden 60 is the highest-rated four-year-old in Hong Kong, and he's probably right now the favorite for the Hong Kong Derby. He's by Medaglia d'Oro out of the distorted human there, except he's bred in Australia because Medaglia d'Oro shuttles down there. So he had won four straight races. The last three is the favorite. Just nothing not to like about him. He draws post four. He gets Vincent Ho. Just everything going in his favor. But the one to really watch, maybe not in this specific race, but down the road, is Beauty Legacy as he begins to get his feet wet over in Hong Kong. What they do is they buy horses, they bring them in, and then you might not see them for a while. And this horse ran against good horses in Australia last February, last March, in Caulfield and Flemington and Melbourne, and was in against top companies. So a lot of expectations on him. He looked great in his Hong Kong debut. Moves up in class here, but other than Golden 60, I think he can handle the rest of them. So this will be a fascinating race to watch because it's kind of like a Derby prep in the sense that it'll lead to that big race, the Hong Kong Derby, which, unlike just about everyone else, they have those classic races for four-year-olds. So Golden 60, the one horse, the one to beat, and Beauty Legacy, number three, the one to watch in race number eight, the Hong Kong Classic Mile.
Excellent. Well, it makes for what should be, you know, between what's going on at Gulfstream and then feeding in to the evening, and then you got Sam Houston on Sunday, among everything else. So you think about this, you think about usually the Florida Derby and that card that starts earlier in the day with Dubai. There's a few of these international meshing weekends that make for end-to-end action, Dick.
Yes, that's no doubt. And it'll be exciting to watch this four-year-old race because they've been writing about Beauty Legacy. You read the South China Morning Post and lots of preview stories and lots of expectations. He lived up to him in his first start. Now he goes into deep waters, and he should be good. I was at my ophthalmologist on Monday. I had my six-month checkup, so everything is good with the eyes.
With the peepers, no nice.
Care. I know. I was. Steve's back.
Well, we've had the most remarkable turnaround ourselves with it. I mean, it just this extra work last week just It was so unexpected to be so thoroughly, you know, have it so thoroughly solved and you know, brought back around. Because I, you know, after 6 months, Dick, I was feeling kind of resigned to, you know, continuing with the difficulty and not having a balance. And, you know, I'm going back. I got to go back, I think, on Monday. I think I go back Monday. And then I'll have to wait another couple of weeks to, you know, be able to see. I'm not gonna need glasses for distance work anymore. It solved the astigmatism. It's amazing. How can you have better eyesight at 60 in an eye than you did at 30? Right? It's crazy. But I guess that's the way everything's heading. I mean, when it comes to the technology.
Mine's not heading in that direction.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't. I can only deal with what I've experienced.
I would have gone through what you experienced had I not gone to Saratoga Vision on Route 29 heading into town from the west.
Yeah.
And they had some really high-tech things. I just wanted new glasses. And she went through all this stuff, and the optometrist, I wish I could remember her name, said, you have a tear in your retina.
Yep.
And it might detach. And they wanted to get me to Dr. Hamad that afternoon. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't available, and I went to see him the next day, and I'm like, And I get there, and he goes through everything. He says, no, it's not detached. It's slightly torn. It could get worse, and eventually they lasered around the spot.
Right. Right.
And kept it from spidering out and getting worse, and that the vitreous dries up and things start
exactly,
to
exactly.
Stuff like that. So I've learned a lot from that. And what's great with you now is you have so much knowledge about it that you can talk to people and be a subject matter expert as to, oh, this isn't that bad. I mean, I would never have expected I would let people do stuff to my eyes that they've done the last 2 years, because I'm really skeevish about my eyes. And now it's like, oh, go ahead.
It's funny you say that, because much like Marty McGee, who, you know, on an annual basis reminds you know, listeners about, you know, the exam that probably saved his life, early detection of prostate cancer. And the advice that I've got is, when you see those floaters, when you see those little black dots, I mean, sometimes you're tired and it'll go away. But if you're seeing those things, flashes, any little flashes, like flashes of light and, you know, little objects, you know, kind of darting around as you move your eyes, that's an issue. And I ignored it from the winter around this time, around January of last year, right up until the thing detached, and then 2 weeks of it detached. And the nice thing is, and to give this credit to Retina Associates down in wherever they are, you know, just south of Albany. I mean, they did not expect me to have the recovery that I've had. So it's a tribute to them. But I mean, even having screwed up so badly as to have let this fester and then go 2 weeks with it detached, it's going to be one of my favorite memories ever, when I said, can this wait until after Labor Day? And they said, Labor Day? this was July 28th or 9th. Labor Day? Labor Day? No, it can't. It can't wait till 7 o'clock tonight. That's good. So there's your health tip when it comes to your eyes, and you've only got two of them, so don't screw around. Dick, I appreciate it. And where's that analysis going to be
It'll be on twinspies.com/blog. Oh, if you just go to the website, just pull down news, and it should be there. But I just sent in a revision with the 96C, because I had it at 0 feet based on the SVP as I originally got.
Excellent. I appreciate it, and we'll check in next week, do some recapping, and start to talk 3-year-olds as well. Dick Powell, everybody, Hong Kong Jockey Club, HKJC.com. Let's take a break. We'll come back and check in with Tony Black, Steve Haskin. Don't know yet about Matt Hegarty, but I do want to get into a couple of the pieces of news that Matt's going to cover, and that includes the CHRB yesterday extending the medication restrictions to training hours and the opportunity for testing. They do some random testing, actually, but they've really moved to try to be as vigilant and have the toughest standards. This is an added wrinkle. So, Matt, with that coverage, we've also got to get the inclusion of yesterday's late-breaking story involving Ahmed Zayat and Zayat Stables. Ahmed dealing again, 10 years after his wranglings with Fifth Third, dealing with investors that people that lent him money, and essentially the stable placed in a receivership. The succinct and simple way to explain it, that the principal that Zayat had put up for loans included Stallion Seasons of American Pharoah, and it's alleged that he sold those on the QT and didn't use that revenue against the balance that he's owed the financiers. So that, of course, quite the overnight fodder. Zayat has dealt with financial pressures and some seemingly unbridled enthusiasm for gambling before. So we'll see how this plays out. The one thing when it comes to American Pharoah and the Zayats that can't be discounted under any circumstance is the generosity with which they shared him with the public, including running at Saratoga and getting beat. And, that created several days that were now part of Saratoga lore. The workout, the race actually that he ran as a workout with a huge crowd on hand. And then getting run down by Keen Ice. And Zayat said, "I want him. If we can do it, we're bringing him to Saratoga." And after the Haskell, and they did it. And I don't have to remind anybody that we don't get we don't always get that kind of opportunity and sportsmanship shown. So, it's too bad situation. Let's take a break. Tony Black joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Whether at home at the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K to get your $125 bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve BYK on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my darling. Stand by me. No matter who you are. No matter where you go. In life, you're gonna need somebody. You, no matter how much money you got.
We're back at the races.
All the friends you got, you gonna need.
Playing for change. Somebody. We haven't played this version. I appreciate that, Deja. Good job.
When the night
so great.
Has come.